Scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 12. As we come to the end of this series of lessons in the upper room, as we approach Palm Sunday and Easter Day, just to go back to a passage we haven't preached on recently, which is right at the beginning of that series, John chapter 12 and verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." And Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, or anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And a voice from heaven came, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." And the crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And he said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. So a brief word leading into communion. We want to see Jesus. These seekers, they were from non-Jewish background. They were proselytes to the Jewish faith. That meant that they believed in the one true God of Israel. They obeyed the law. They were coming for the Passover, and Jesus had arrived on a donkey into Jerusalem. And they asked to see him. They asked for an audience. And surprisingly, Jesus doesn't meet with them. It's almost as if they're too late. What a thought that is, that you can almost be too late. Now, I think that there was still much hope for them, because I'm sure that Philip and Andrew fed back to them what Jesus said. Even though Jesus didn't meet with them, they would have fed back what Jesus said. And what Jesus said was very strange. They said, "We'd like to meet with you, Jesus of Nazareth, great miracle worker. We've seen all these amazing signs that you've done. We want to get to know you better." And Jesus said, "My hour has come." Do you remember Jesus did lots of signs, like the water into wine, and his mother was wanting him to turn the water into wine, and he said, "My hour has not yet come." But out of obedience to his mother, he turned the water into wine, and the disciples saw the things that he did. They believed in him. But many other people didn't believe in him. The Pharisees, it seemed, were like that clay. They got harder and harder. They saw the same miracles, but they got harder and harder. The disciples, their hearts were getting melted. Think about that for a minute. The sun is shining on the ice cream and on the clay. Two hearts. One's getting harder, and one is getting melted. How's your heart this morning? Have you ever thought that this spiritual sight that's spoken of all through the Gospels, and particularly John's Gospel, it's all about sight. Man born blind. Do you remember at the end of that great miracle that Jesus said to the man, "You know, I've healed you," and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I believe in you." And the Pharisees wanted to kill him. Amazing. Heals a blind man. One group wants to kill him. The other one wants to follow him. And as we get closer to the cross, there's a division between people whose hearts get harder and people whose hearts get softer. And I think that's what Jesus is saying, that now is time for judgment, that the cross is actually a judgment. It's a dividing line between those who accept Jesus and those who reject him. That it's almost like every parable he teaches divides the crowd. Some people get harder hearts and some people get softer hearts. What a fearful thing that is, that actually hearing a sermon is like a judgment. Because even though Jesus said, I did not come into the world to judge, but to save. But Jesus also knows he's coming back as the judge. He's been appointed by the Father to be the judge of all time. So that really grips me. That really bothers me that some people, when I preach God's word, they get further away from God. So that's why we need to pray before we open the Bible. And some people come closer to God. Where are you this morning? How do you respond to this amazing cross that we've just been singing about and talking about? You see, there's a seeing, which is to see who Jesus really is. If you look at this picture, you see, what do you see? Maybe you know the picture. Maybe you were at Messy Church and you saw this on the wall upstairs. What do you see? Do you see an old woman or a young woman? Or can you see both? When you look at Jesus, do you see a human being or do you see the Son of God, the divine Son of God? That's what's happening all through the Gospels. There's some people who are seeing a man, and other people are seeing a man and the divine Son of God. Now, when Jesus spoke to these people, a voice from heaven thundered and said, I have glorified myself, and I will glorify myself again. That reminds me of the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember when Peter, James, and John went up the mountain with Jesus, and he was just an ordinary bloke? Wonderful teacher, but he looked like an ordinary person. Then his whole body was like transfigured, and he was dazzling brightness. And that was his glorified state. That was the state that he's in now when he's back in heaven. But he was like almost the Son of God incognito, in disguise. And only people with faith could see that he was not only a man, but he was the one that God sent into the world. His identity is so crucial. Who is he? What's your own thoughts on that? And then his mission. What's the purpose of his life? And he's saying, this is the purpose of my life. He says, the hour has come. Verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. Let's stop on that for a minute. Sometimes we speak about the cross quite glibly. It's so familiar to us, but this Jesus is in total anguish. He's facing all the horrors of crucifixion, all the horrors of being separated from his Father in heaven as he takes the burden of the sins of the world upon his shoulders. He's not praying the prayer of the psalmist like Psalm 6, I'm in anguish, save me. He's not praying that. He's saying, I'm in anguish, but I came into the world to be in anguish and to suffer and to die. Because as he read Isaiah 53, he knew he was the man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. He knew he was God's servant who ultimately would suffer for all the people. Even the non-believing Pharisees said, it is good for one man to die for all the people. Not realizing they were speaking prophetically. They thought killing him was a good thing. They thought killing him was judging him as a blasphemer who said he was equal with God. But actually, in judging him, they were judging the one who will judge the world. He came to die. He came to go into the ground for 3 days and come back resurrected, lifted up, and glorified. And that's why he says in verse 33 that he will, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death by which he was going to die. So have you understood who he is? Have you understood why he came? And finally, what's his call on our lives? His call on our lives is a hard thing. And sometimes there's a temptation, even in myself, to duck the hard things. But the hard things are not bad things. They're good things. If we want to become like Jesus, we need to understand that our sins need to be put to death. He says, if you follow me, you too must die. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying he's the Son of God, he came to die, and those who follow him must die as well. When's the last time somebody said that to you? If you want to come to Jesus, you've got to die. You've got to die to selfishness. You've got to die to self-love, to self-interest. Jesus loved the church and died for it. That's what Ephesians 5 tells us. Husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, who gave himself up for her and died for her. When's the last time you thought about dying for the church? Like that man, Willie Still. I think he's called Mr. Still. I called him Willie Still in Aberdeen, and someone said, it's Mr. Still. So that shows you he was a man that was revered. Gave 52 years of his life. He died to the applause of the crowd in the theater because Jesus was the one that he was living for. He did not live for his own glory, but for the glory of God. That speaks to me when sometimes we can be tempted with the question, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? What do you think? Is it worth it? Is it worth sacrificing? Is it worth giving your whole life to Jesus? You see, it's good news, because if you give Jesus your life, you get your life. If you hold on to your life, you lose it. This is amazing teaching from Jesus. And it's only by faith, it's only by trusting the Word of God that you will be able to enter into this. Receive this message, and you will have life to the full. So he's really saying to us this morning, come and see. Come and see who I really am. Come and die, and come and live. Do you want to live? Let's see Jesus. Let's respond to him with soft hearts, not hard hearts. Let's have forgiving hearts. Because being a Christian is hard, and we get hurt, and people let us down. But let's not spend the rest of our lives in paralysis. Let's move forward. Let's give our all for Jesus. Shall we? Let's sing, come and see, as we prepare for communion. Come and see the King of Love.